The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Is that Cotolo over there? I think it is. I think that's Cotolo over there. Oh, Mr. Cotolo, just give it to us one more time.
I'm Frank Cotolo with your Dummies Guide to the U.S. Let's look at America, which, by the way, spans the entire country. America is made up of states. All of these states have different shapes. That was part of the Founding Fathers' original design. It meant that democracy would be for the people, by the people, of the people, and with the people. For without people, America would be a barren, lonely land, with only a few trees and a general store. America began as a dream, and today it is many dreams. You can travel the length of America and never once go south. The plains are wide, and the terrain of America changes from town to town. You can taste great food at every stop, but sooner or later, you will have to stop eating or die of asphyxiation. To travel the United States is to meet many people from many different places, all of them America. You hear different accents, and you see different types of clothing, but everywhere, everyone wears shoes. Hats are popular, too, but Americans love their shoes even more than they love their pets. America also has many different climates. It can be warm in the winter in Florida and cold in the summer in Texas. It can be raining in Mississippi and windy in Illinois. It can be boiling in Arkansas while a hurricane strikes Kansas. There can be an earthquake in California and a tornado in Tennessee. No matter what is happening in the weather, somewhere in America, weather is the main issue and people are basking or battling the elements. The greatest thing is that you don't have to know anything about America to enjoy visiting America. Whatever language you speak, there will be someone in America who knows that language and can speak it better than you. Whatever your race, color, or creed, Americans won't care. Most Americans don't even know what a creed is. Have fun and enjoy your stay. And if you are in my neighborhood, drop by. I'll be there with my American flag, American family, American slang, and I will probably wave to you and shout, "Welcome to my country! Now don't forget, you got one of your own!" I'm Frank Cotolo for the Dummies Guide to the U.S.
Right out of New York City into New Jersey. It's the true bastion of the slob road of America in full flower, and it's got it all going.
Oh, indeed, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. How do you like that for a cliche? But beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And there are many theories of art. But one of the new theories of art is that art is a living thing that you live in, that you're part of. Your whole existence is art. And for that school, we would like to recommend a truly surrealistic experience. Nothing is more beautiful in the whole realm of surrealism. Salvador Dali would understand this. A trip going west on New Jersey's magnificent Route 22. From the moment you emerge from the Holland Tunnel or the Lincoln Tunnel and hurtle westward past two guys from Harris, past the flagship. Oh, the flagship, that's something else. Yes, coming out of the dark, sailing forever westward. It seems to be always going to Manhattan, but never quite arriving. And high up on the forecastle, a sailor is eternally signaling to the ships ahead. And the great roar and stream of traffic booms on. booms on and on and on. You can get anything on Route 22. Bifocals, tennis shoes, caskets. You just name it. Route 22's got it. You want a harness for your mule? No problem. Would you like to build perhaps a new custom-made outhouse? Got all the stuff here for you. Would you like to buy a bowling ball? Or perhaps you'd like to drop by for any one of 15,000 different types of hamburgers. We've got them on 22. Pizzas, Chinese, Japanese, Route 22. I would recommend to anyone who wants to know something about our planet, let's say he comes from Saturn, or Mars, or Indiana, just start at the mouth of the Holland Tunnel. Pick out the sign that says Route 22, if you can find it. Pretty clever about that around the Newark airport there. Just pick out the Route 22 sign, head west. Keep your eyes open. You have to keep your eyes open, but those 18-wheelers move like a cat. And just let the rich effluvia of 20th century American New Jersey life flow past you in a thick, magnificent stream. And as the sun sets and glints and glows on the beautiful Watchung Hills on the magnificent Route 22, remember, you're traveling one of America's most complete works of living, surrealistic art, pulsing with true, deep, passionate, yeast-like life. It's all here. Hieronymus Bosch, Salvador Dali, you have nothing on New Jersey's great and immortal Route 22.
Listening to Frank Capola.
That's some control over there, you know what I mean?
No kicks on Route 22. I know a couple of people out there have caught the neo-postmodernistic elements of this beginning. Radio will not die, and I am the Bard of Broadcasting. I'm going to make sure of it. Kamika Tolo at your service for philosophical entertainment and relevant irreverence. Netarati couple surfers, netaholics, and infomaniacs. You're going to be curious, yellow. Don't forget what you hear tonight. Take notes, write this down. The artist D is with me. Art, art, art. We'll be right back. tell him. Go ahead.
冰球到冰球，小村到大市，啊，咸湿屋仔到咸湿中心。 Hi, Cthulhu Chronicles.
From icecap to icecap, from Hamlet to city, from Othello, and into every steaming hot bordello. My name is Frank Cthulhu, and the man whose name adorns the title of this show. I am the chronicler on this eve of Independence Day in the United States of America. That's what all that artistic jingoism, I believe it would be called, that went on there in our collage. And oddly enough, as I said, I think some people, I'm not going to say it, but I know some people out there caught the voice of Gene Shepherd talking about the road I was on today, the old Queens Highway. I'm on this road an awful lot. And I think it does represent America and its surrealistic form of art. And that was Gene Shepherd, the late, great Gene Shepherd, from Gene Shepherd's America. Our America takes place right here. And the artist D is going to be with me to talk about it. The artist D. Artist in the name. I'm not the artist C, and there is no artist A or artist B. There is only the artist D as we take on this particular angle that I don't even think you'll see this on that Sunday morning CBS show, which is called, I think, CBS Sunday Morning. One where not Charles Carralt, he's dead, the other Charles, Charles Goodman, and Charles, I forget his, Charles Grodin, and that guy does the show and does all these down-home American things. And we're not there. We're somewhere else because we're on the outskirts of the mainstream. And perhaps that's why we labeled it Americans Rebels on the blog, because America was started by rebels, and the rebels kind of got crumpled along the way. We are still being crumpled, but this is not about freeing the rebels. This is about being rebels and the spirit of what made this country, whatever this country is to you or to me, and certainly not to groups and polarized teams of political nature or whatever. This is this country. And as you're listening in every other country, even though Canada is which represents us. Don't forget that throughout the week, you can hear us on any number of other stations. And we're there all the time. We're like a lot. And I'm going to be doing this throughout the rest of my life. I'm sorry. It's so, I'm not even going to talk to you about that. You know, immediately we went into this you know, heat wave here on, I'm right off Route 22. The great, this surrealistic, artistic America sits barely feet from this particular seat where I am at this moment. But I just got to make this note because I forgot something. The heat does things to me, and it always has done things to me. And I've never performed well in the heat, and I have a slight aversion. Well, I love to be in cool places, like, you know, that are air controlled. I love that, but I am certainly, I don't have a sense. I always have a sense that the air is controlled and that is conditioned. That's why I call it air conditioned. And so I was able to get myself, you know, all the fans we had in this particular place died. And I'm here alone, other than we're going to get from undisclosed location. Of course, the artist D will be with me. Jeremy Long's out making a movie. How do you like them apples? I don't know if I'd like to be out making a movie. I've done things like that. But we're going to hear more about Jeremy and his part in the movie. And this is not just a walk across. Jeremy Long will be back as the summer ensues. And it's certainly, this is only July.
and it's going to get hot. But that's why I formed the collage, as I do, ad hoc, almost moments before we went on the air, deciding what to do and what to play, and it just all fell into place. There's a magic to the improvisation of a theme, and without working on it for months or days or hours or even minutes, I'm able to just paste it up there, and it works. And if it doesn't work, so what? Okay, and that's not, that's me talking, and that's what I do here, talking to you. Cthulhu Chronicles. Now, when the Artist D is available, we're going to get the Artist D on the air, and we're going to be talking about, basically, what, you know, this great American rebellion thing that, wow, it's really not that complicated, and yet they make it complicated. But I think that if we look back, as I heard this morning, I heard, you know, talk about a great American, and I know what you're going to say. Forget about these guys like, forget about these John Waynes, you know, who were just actors, and then they wave flags, and forget about all these other people that you hear about, these stupid talk show guys who are always saying America, bring America back, and the liberals who might be saying whatever they're saying, and me, for whatever I say, because I don't, you know, try to, I just think it's all a bunch of packaged commercial products. But one person who really did something and was artistically inclined and is still alive, it's a man named Dick Gregory. I sure wish Dick Gregory could be on the show, but he's like 192. And I don't know if you know much about Dick Gregory, but if you go back to the 60s, and Dick Gregory was an African-American comic who became very involved in the politics of racism in a great way. I mean, and he's like the Gandhi of African Americans. Literally, the man went on a fast. I don't know what he ate or how he survived. He went on a fast to protest the Vietnam War, and various other things. So certainly racism, not in the Vietnam War, but you know, whatever. Because Dick Gregory, I don't know. I haven't even looked for Dick Gregory on YouTube. But you know, is there anything you can't get on YouTube? Look for Dick Gregory. And he was talking this morning. And he was saying such great things. He's 90-something years old, and he's really got his grip on the mainstream testicles of this country. He's able to, like, you know, shake them up. But the point is, you know, he did something. You're not like, there's so many people, there's so much, and I've talked about this before, you know, because I the gas bags of broadcasting who supposedly want this country to be something or other and don't realize, you know, that this polarization is so harmless in a sense too. I mean, really, the political polarization is ridiculous because it doesn't accomplish anything other than it keeps us all together, and no matter what happens, it seems that you know, the country goes on. And people like the Artist D and I certainly have problems with not in this country. Well, I'm not going to speak for the Artist D. I'm just going to say to you that as you know, someone labels you strange and different at a young age, and you know you've got a very difficult road to travel through in almost any country, I guess. But even in this country, that's the point I'm trying to make. That you know, don't make a big deal about the great, you know, this independence and stuff like that. Plus the fact that people celebrate on Independence Day. They don't celebrate exactly what they celebrate, the fact that we declared, our forefathers declared independence. They didn't get it, so they had to fight for it. But this is the day they declared it, and then they signed the paper, and so this is the Declaration of Independence. And we're free now, they said to the English people, to the king, and all those guys. What was going on over there? You know, you really want to get into history, see what was going on over there. And that wasn't necessarily a, in the British Empire, it wasn't necessarily a tyrannical place, but it had some very strange and oppressive things going on. That's why pilgrims came here and to the New World and all this stuff that went on. And, you know, were we even taught anything that was real? I don't know. Apparently a lot of people seem to think they know, and you know what I think about people who think they know stuff. I'm going to challenge them at any given time. I'm a critical thinker. And I'm in my thinking is in critical condition. One or the other. I don't totally get that. It's something like that. I'm going to look for the artist D here shortly on our various, there is a great time difference between the artist D. I think the artist D has a couple of, yes, the artist D has a couple of different, oh, this, what is this? I mean, a whole different, it's a whole, red wine. There's the artist D. Let's just get the artist D on here and let's get to this. I was looking on the wrong icon. I was looking on the wrong icon.
With my hands firmly planted on the testicles of the underground, I have arrived.
You know, I was waiting for you on that other. For some reason or another, I got two icons for you. And then I said, I better scroll up.
You better.
And I did. And I'm going because there you go. Wow. Hey, hi.
Hi.
So you like that? You get an idea of where I'm coming? I know you got an idea where I'm coming from with all this.
Yeah, and I got my hands planted, that's for sure.
But I wanted to, especially, not just because of your name, but certainly because even with the generation gap, I don't not only think we have a gap, you and I, but I mean age-wise, we have a gap.
And, well, yeah.
What I mean is raw numbers,
and cultural, and there's no gap.
Right, but raw numbers. You know, the raw numbers, and it would couldn't it? It pretty much is only people who would be considered artists, and this in itself is I want you to define artist. And then then we could see how this fits into a history of oppression. Ooh. And
there's so many broad definitions. The one that I just saw recently that I connected to was the artist is the one who tries desperately to hide and does not want to be out anywhere, but yet is somehow driven to speak, which very well put it into perspective for me. But artists, they paint with a broad brush, don't they?
They act, yes. Yes, and in, certainly in different... well, and you know, I don't really think... I was looking at the... I always go to the... core here. So whatever it said here is an indefinite definition in my official, and then we can go from here because there's so many different.
Let's do the official, and I'll tell you what's wrong with it or something.
Yes, I think that's what'll work. That's what'll work. But I was a little disappointed in this. It says noun artist. Because why? Because we are a person, a place, or a thing.
Or a thing. I'm a thing.
And a person is a thing, and a place is a thing. Why doesn't noun just say thing? Okay, it says artist, one who professes and practices any of the fine arts. That's way too general.
That's what people think it is.
Okay, and here's number two. One versed in the practice of a fine manual occupation as sewing.
Oh, God.
And three, an artiste. This is artist with an E. Let's throughout the now we got to put this in context because, as I was saying, what people are celebrating in the United States tomorrow is not freedom; it's the Declaration of Freedom.
Right.
Because on that day, they just said, a whole bunch of people said, oh, yeah, well, we're not with you anymore. And it was not like the king didn't turn around and go, all right, have it your way. You know, I mean, blood was shed and people died and there were notions and things and,
There were notions.
Yeah. You know, and I was talking about Dick Gregory and he was saying this morning, do you know Dick Gregory or have you?
I do.
Yes.
I do. And good. He's actually only in his 80s.
That's all?
That's all, yes.
Wow, okay, well...
It's about 81.
You know, once you get to 81, 90, I don't know.
It's all relative.
Yeah. But he said this morning, he was talking about how people, what's all the hubbub about, you know, a gay marriage and same-sex marriage and transgenderism and people, and he pointed to George Washington... And he described how he was dressed, along with all of the forefathers, as they were announcing the freedom of this. We're going to fight for the freedom to. And he said, everybody was walking around like someone else anyway. Are there any pictures of George Washington, like in a T-shirt?
No, I don't think he ever posed in a T-shirt.
And the
his Homer Simpson T-shirt.
And the forefathers are always dressed to kill in all of the the Continental Congress and when they're writing the Federalist Papers. And they're not artists. That was just the style or what have you. But you and I both know that there was.
Although they were very well versed in their art of politics.
Yeah, well, I want you to describe, give us all a couple of definitions as you see, as you feel artist, because how do certain people fall into it? Is there an artist in all of us? I don't think so, but that's my opinion.
No, and I think people get it confused with creative, because like you said there in the definition, it said sewing is an art, and you know, that's not what it is to me. And I understand why they would say that, and I would understand what they're thinking, but there's a difference between being creative and making something.
Well, isn't that why they separate arts and crafts? I mean, crafts.
Yeah,
right?
There you go.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's why I guess I was raised from that mentality is, you know, there's Van Gogh, and then there's someone who knits a quilt.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And while I'm not putting down one or the other, because I'm sure there's some fabulous quilters out there listening, and they're thinking that, they're very talented and they're very artistic in what they do, but really that's more creative. And I don't think it's what makes you an artist isn't the ability to paint a picture or, touch upon that sort of creative vein and create, because that's kind of, creative, create, hello. But art and artists are like, they're plugged into the madness. Is my initial thought.
Good. That's really good because, yes, that's really good because
I think it's why people run screaming from me because I'm so.
Look, we have to look at it personal in a way. You're right. I mean, I know what you're talking about.
Because I am. I consider myself no shit an artist. And if I were to be asked, why are you an artist and I'm not an artist? Comparing those who create something to me, I say, well, you're in, come stay with me for a moment. And this madness, the vein of art, the vein of madness and creativity and everything that I am, it's just on this totally different plane. I don't paint a picture on the weekend. I mean, I live and breathe what I am, whatever that is.
Now, in this country, from the beginning, when the forefathers were sitting around and saying, look, like everybody has got to be involved in this freedom. Of course, that was not true anyway, because there were, politics involved with it. And Dick Gregory, it's amazing, because this country, has these, these foundations that everybody seems to fight for, and yet when you go back, there must have been, there were so many people being oppressed because of how they thought and because of who they were at the time, right? Mm-hmm. And Dick Gregory said this amazing thing, and when you got to think about this now, because this is like the 60s, we're talking about the late 50s and early 60s now. We're not talking about 1860 till 1760 now. He said, here's what happens. He said to him, and when he was getting involved in the madness of racial equality and stuff, which was still going on well after slaves were freed. He said he went to somewhere in Louisiana or Mississippi, maybe it was Mississippi. He went to Mississippi, where Holiday Inn was now allowing for a mixed colors. This is 1960, right?
Right.
And he went, and they were very proud that they were doing this. Although, I guess society and politics was kind of forcing him. But still, here's what he said, and this is great. He did. They put up a sign, and it said, "Welcome," because he's pretty known for being a activist, political activist. And they knew he was going to stay there. So he went there when he heard that they were doing, this was their new policy. They put up a sign that said, "Welcome Dick Gregory, room 702. That's the madness that people like Dick Gregory and you and I see, not just on a political level, just that madness is part of the energy that we're talking about, and it was going on from the day they... Oh, Amy, look at that. Why do we have these little issues?
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, you back? You're back. You back? You back? You there? Return to the artist coming up. Wait. There's a problem. Says, hold on, there's a problem. Oh, there. Are you back? There's a problem. There's a problem with the call. Here's the call again. Listen to these sounds. You back now?
I'm back. That was crazy.
Do you think it's, you think they're...
they're listening. They're always listening.
Yeah, I never cared anyway. But what I was saying was that particular madness that was going on from the beginning. And what you're talking about is a consciousness, right?
Yes, it's a consciousness.
And there are artists that it doesn't matter exactly what you do or how you do it. There's this, well, you go on now. Why am I doing it?
Go on.
Artist is in your name.
I think that really, that kind of touched on it. What Salvador Dali said, I don't do drugs, I am drugs.
Right.
I don't do art, I am art, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do art. But, if you took art away from me, I'd be done.
Yes.
So it's a consciousness. I am art in my brain, in my life, in my blood. And that's why I can't just be a painter or a designer or one thing or another, because those are all, I'm all of these things, because I just want to be art and create art. And madness.
That's a struggle that I don't think a lot of people understand how that's a struggle. They don't. But if we look at if we put ourselves, like I always like to do in stories and stuff, put myself and who I am as the witness. We're witnesses. We witness the witnesses of the madness.
Right.
And then we express it in ways that people understand, don't understand, like, buy, don't buy. Right. That's what we do.
Right. And everything is the same. I mean, that was the perfect reference you just made with Dick Gregory and the forefathers. It's just, we're fighting the same battles. Even if people don't realize it, even if they got a new coat of paint on them,
mm-hmm.
it's the same. That's why I'm so sick of it. It's the same. And yet, I don't know how someone lives so long. Because, like, to be 80 and to be an activist for that long, it's very obvious. Because I already see it now. You know, and I've only really, like, gone through, like, two cycles of life or kind of generations where I'm starting to see the same things repeated. I already saw them repeated, and now they're being repeated again, and it's like, oh, this is getting old.
I'm not going to say what you're going to, because I don't know what you're going to, but there are more levels that just, I guess they don't inundate you. You just absorb them, or you, you realize that the fight is not necessarily going to be won. The fight is.
Right. Well, because I mean, especially in the reference to artists, it's directly connected, because what we do or how we feel now, that's like when I started reading really old books. If you read a book from an artistically mad person hundreds of years ago, we're the same. And when you realize that, it's shocking.
So if we go back to the beginning of this country, and I mean, already, that is like such... It's such fresh. It's a fresh hell. the whole world outside of this country. This country is like nothing compared to what was going on everywhere else. And we know that there was already a tremendous amount of art and people who were pointing out madness.
Right.
And some of them, many of them, of course, influenced people here. But I don't know. I just think that, you know, we talk about this lately, the past decade or two, they've talked about this thing called American exceptionalism. Mm. And it's like, because we're exceptional. I know. It's like, I mean, I don't necessarily get this particular campaign. You know, it's like, because these are the same people who talk about us being a melting pot. Because we're from everywhere else. I mean, the English are English and they're Anglo-Saxons, and they go back to hordes of tribes and the Iberians and the right. And everybody's what is an American? A Native American? Man, you had a Native American. Look what they did to the people who were already here.
Right.
it's absolutely outrageous to think now. What happened to people like us back then?
People like us back then were hiding far more than we're hiding now. So that is one thing. We hide a little bit less. I could think back from like, you know, one to the other. And I mean, we're talking like basically back then.
Back then.
They were normal in normal life, but they went home, they did drugs, they got crazy, they had tons of sinful sex, all the wrong, quote, wrong ways, and they did their paintings, and they did their writings, and they had their secret clubs. It's the same. Because I say that because, and probably a good topic for this topic, is I'm still hiding. I don't see that there's any... You can't go out as yourself. Mm-hmm. And when I say that to certain people who do go out as themselves, of course they argue with me, but I just don't see... Because that's what I was sold, was you could be yourself in today's modern society, and I can leave my house looking however I'd like, being married to whoever, whatever gender I'd like to, and I could have sex with whatever I preferred, and that people, that's not true. So I decided that that's just not how it happens, and I have to live normal. When I go to the grocery store, I have to be normal. I have to be cordial, because if I'm anything else, then they're not going to accept me. And that makes it just the same as it always was.
That's absolutely true. The level and the latitude of these things have changed, but you're right. And people back then, that's what they did. They had clubs, and they did things, and they went to places so that it was not Well, it was. You know that. You know what that really does, though, and we can see this too. It makes so many things now lie.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, and it's kind of. I could go right to Quentin Crisp, and I know I've gone there far too much on your show and on mine, but he's the one that comes to mind, and I guess that could be a very early American example, certainly an English example, of an effeminate male. Who liked to wear makeup and dye his hair purple and go walking down the street. He did that in the early 1900s. People clearly knew he was gay, and he did so, and his art, he was an artist, although he wouldn't have told you so, because he didn't do an art, he just was. And that's a lot of, along the lines that I'm thinking here. But you could have went to Quentin and said, you know, you can go out like this, and you can act like this, but you may get hurt. And you may not get hurt. You could say the same thing to me over 100 years later now, is you can go out like this now, but you may get hurt, and you may not get hurt. So when they say that so much has changed and there's so much more acceptance, there may be more people out and screaming and in the streets looking the way they do, but you still may get killed just as much as you may get left alone, just as much as before.
And that doesn't just go for things that would be obvious, like somebody
correct
dressed and, you know, or whatever.
Yeah. And that's why this isn't about sexuality or transgender or gay.
Right.
It's about artists.
And look at Oscar Wilde. Oscar Wilde went to prison.
Exactly.
And when I was talking before about, we were saying, you know, we're leaving England, and like England was no pot of liberal, I don't even want to label it. There was so much going on. That even Shakespeare himself had to, and all the people who did things in the theater, in the arts, in England had to be very careful about what they did, because what was ruling the country was a dictum, an atmosphere of morality, you know, as interpreted. Or as decreed by the royalty. That was decreed. It wasn't. It was like, look, this is the way it goes here now. So you could go to jail for being anything but someone who believes in they do. And they did.
And if you look through, you know, further and further, English rule, as in, like, you know, before America, that sort of time mm-hmm. frame. Before that, with the castles and the knights and the horses. You know, that they did the same thing. They were hiding, and what the hell did they do behind closed doors? Those are some great movies these days of what they did. It's these people who were different, but mm-hmm. they were still there.
The facade, well, using morality as a facade, of course, is civilization. That's what people think builds a civilization. But that's a complete, that's a stage with a curtain and things going on behind it that you don't see. I mean, because it's not going to happen. But the Salvador Dali also said, as you were saying, you know, I am art, because he said art is a living thing. Right? Wasn't that, that's him, right? Cause it was,
I think so.
Yeah, because it was talked about in the opening of, and when he was talking about Route 22 there, that art is a living thing. And a living thing changes and moves and does and is animated. And I was trying to think of all the people who might have been like us, we'll just say artists, or people who thought a certain way, a different way, in the origin of this country. And I mean, who are these people? Can you imagine the amount of people that we don't know?
Yes. Even if you look at the forefathers, and Ben Franklin continually comes to mind, he seemed like a pretty devious.
Oh boy.
Interesting dude.
Yeah. Hey, you know.
He was kind of kinky, I think.
There's no thinking about it. The things that come out now, especially when he went to Paris a lot to do. It was amazing how they. Yeah, but I don't know. Okay. What are we saying? We're saying everyone is, I guess what we're trying to say is that all these people who tend to, now this is live your lifestyle. I mean, your lifestyle is your lifestyle. And of course we know Salvatore Dali. There must be other Salvatore Dalis out there, but they didn't plug in to that great, something didn't happen to them to make it fame, fortune. It's like great musicians are out there, but we'll never hear a note from them because of
We're talking to some now. I mean, you talk to people, I talk to people. Mm-hmm. We are people. Who are these people that
and write we're the, that down? And we're not the luckiest people in the world for that.
Exactly. I mean, it could be me. I could be the Salvador Dali that no one's paying attention to.
Correct.
I think you as well. We've both said some pretty interesting things in our time, and yet nobody's buying our books. Well, you know, not much.
So, and speaking of that, this is a good time to tell everyone that For Culture 13 is out.
It is.
And I'm always telling people and sending around links and stuff. We've benefited in ways from this technology. And this, you know, that's what started this whole thing. The fact that we have this technology and that we started to do all this stuff. And this is this is a world in itself. It's not America. There's no nationality to this, you know, cyber world, this globe, right. this universe, this abyss, this realm. and there are so many things that are happening here that, you know, could never happen.
Yeah, and we could say that was the positive footnote of the internet, is the people that came out of it, some of the people that came out of it. It has allowed us to be who we are, to be seen by people who, I mean, I can't imagine if there was no internet and I was who you know me as, I mean, who would benefit from that? Man. Not many people. I mean, maybe I could find some club underground, something that a couple dozen people might know of me and appreciate me, but not the thousands. I mean, I should be more grateful for it. And a lot of us should be more grateful for it than we are, because we would never have gotten the chance. I know I've influenced thousands of people, and if I didn't have the internet, I certainly wouldn't have gotten to thousands of people, if not more than that. So if I didn't get lucky like Salvador Dali or somebody else.
But we're lucky in another way, because we live in a time when we can do this. And back then, the us's, boy, we're really going at this tribe of men of consciousness back then, as you said, had to be kind of local. Right. You couldn't be, when Johnny Appleseed, you couldn't just walk across the country. Someone would kill you along the way. I mean, that'd just be
right. Yes.
You know?
And it should be said that, I mean, things are different. That's the confusing part that people can't really wrap their head around, is, you know, well, how can we be just like they were with all this stuff? I mean, look at everything we've done, and look at all the people that we are, and all the, you know, TV shows that are out there with people like us. And how can we be just like the hundreds of years ago? And the brain-bending thought is, well, we are, because we have this human thing that we just can't seem to get over, this judging people, this putting people in categories, this whitewashing rational behavior, that this is how society is, and the rest of you colorful people need to go hide. It's still there, it's still prevalent.
And I'm, as you're saying that, and I'm realizing how we express ourselves here, I think it's hilarious to me that Skype has taken the icon of you,
right,
and just placed it in the lower left hand corner, and put an ad up where where it was completely you at that time. Now there's an ad for the Guardians of the Galaxy,
and they're using my face to get you to look at it.
Yeah, yes, you're on. It's on your face. These are all the things that no one realizes that. You know, but we complain about this because we were here. We were generated towards this because it was, we knew right away. The people who came here first were the people who said, hey, there's another way to get to people.
Right. Right.
We don't have to do it your way. And that's our consciousness. That's our consciousness. And how artists think. But the artist in America, from what you've read and what you know, not just personally, but I mean in the history, because you've been reading and generated towards people. There's some progress, but it's really still kind of what?
I can still see myself in my life and where I am in my head reflected strongly in those that have come before us.
Yeah.
And I suppose the difference would be if I read something from 200 years ago and didn't sit back and say, holy crap, that's me. Mm-hmm. That's now. I think that's what makes it so glaringly disgusting. Glaringly disgusting. And that's why I am glaringly disgusted lately with everything, along this line, along these topics. I mean, it's a great thing to talk about with like-minded people, but scrolling the Facebook wall, the walls of the universe right now, it's just, it disgusts me because they're not getting it.
Mm.
So, you know, that's why we're the same, because I can relate. And yeah, okay, I have air conditioning, I have a laptop, I'm sitting talking clear as a bell to someone thousands of miles away, which is being broadcast all the way around the world to people who would never hear us 100 years ago. Yes, that is different. That has changed. But yet there's still this underlining humanity, and not a good one either, of all this shame that we still feel and all this hiding that we have to do for the artistic people. So nothing has changed. Other than the platform, the stage has changed.
And yet we're not really talking about anarchy.
No.
But we get tagged with that kind of stuff and labeled just the way the Jews were labeled when they were walking around Egypt and they went, hey, aren't you supposed to be building that big structure? What are you doing? What are you doing here? Said the Egyptian prince to the, and maybe that's the difference, whether there is or wasn't or was a guy named Moses. But the point is that, you know, the characters like Moses and the characters like Gandhi, are these people who suddenly see this is wrong and then do something about it. I know you and I, whether we believe or don't believe in anything connected to that, these are like artists. Well, that's a Dick Gregory, right? It's like I'm going to do something about this. I'm not just going to talk or just going to write a song or just going to, because some people do that and some people don't. These are the people who really moved mountains. And what you and I do, it's hard to gauge, because there are only a few of those. There's only a few of those kind of people, and all of it that we know about,
honestly,
because, you know, but just like they did something about it. I mean, so Hannibal did something about it. He just had an Israeli, he decided to conquer the world in a creative way compared to, you know, what Napoleon did later.
And that's probably why I feel so accomplished in a way with For Culture and what we've done, because this is, did they just tell me it was our second, coming up on our second year? It's been almost like...
Yeah, it should
be. It's hard for me to even believe that. But, you know, we're doing what we can. And I guess I finally feel like I'm doing something, I'm helping with something that is actually doing all that we can. I mean, there is nothing more than more money and more time that would be able to generate more of what we do, which is what we want. But for now, you know, the team of people doing it for free, finding all of these wonderful, wonderful people to showcase to the world and say, okay, look at this, look at these. There are people out here that are like us. You know, there's this feeling of accomplishment that I've done what I can, and I'll continue to do it. And that's the only real good thing, is that there has been a check mark there, finally, by something that has been done that, okay, I have definitely affected a lot of people, and I found like-minded people to do the same and spread the word.
And you're putting on the stage that you created at 4Culture, you're putting on that stage so many other people who are out there looking, not looking, they're expressing themselves, and you're introducing people to people. And the people who are your audience who are saying, wow, this world is out there? There are these people out there? And we don't never know what that does, those ripples.
Yes, and there's still that need, because I think people forget that there's a need for that, because sure, back in my day and back in somebody else's day and farther back in their day, you know, they found the magazine under the covers or under the bed and said, holy shit, these people are out there. And, you know, we take that for granted that people still need or have a holy shit moment. Mm-hmm. But I've seen it. If I just get like one random email per month now from someone who says, I read your editorial, which is wonderful that they even paid attention to it, mm-hmm. but they read it and they had this kerplunk feeling of, finally, someone just like me, someone who understands, and I changed their entire course because I gave them an option that they didn't know they had.
Options you don't know you have. That's why you're listening to these two people talk, people. Listen, audience, comrades,
two,
friends.
These two people, places, and things.
Yeah, these two nouns are expressing themselves only as we could here on Cthulhu Chronicles. And the Artist D, of course, you can you get at theartistd.com. And all the stuff that goes on there, including the stuff sold.
The Fabulous D Show that I'm hiding right now.
I'm under
the covers right now.
I got real confused in the beginning when I thought you came back for the season, as I told you.
Oh, I'm back.
When I wrote to you, I went, what is this? Now, when are we, what is this? When are you on? What are you doing?
The season is going. I just haven't done anything.
only an artist could describe it, right? That's right. The season's here, you know? And you can hear that. But anyway, if you go to theartistd.com, And the best thing you could do is just leave your email there and then find out all the things that are happening.
Write to me.
And yeah, that's the other thing.
You can write to me anonymously through my website, and hey, I read it. And I love it.
We're the original interactors.
Our next movie.
We're the interactors, the original interactors. Forget about that team there. What was the movie with the
Avengers?
How could I forget that? Forget about those Avengers. We're the interactors. Better write that down. I got another one here. I got this. The interactors, the original. Yeah, the interactors. Because we interact with everyone. You're right, too. I mean, I always answer people. People are shocked, and I'm always shocked. I'm more shocked than people writing to me. I'm always shocked that they write to me, not that I write back. They don't understand that. They look at it on that other level, you know,
right.
that celebrity level, which is not, you know, that's just created and made into something.
Anybody with an email, I respond to. If they leave one, that's why I said anonymously. I get some anonymous emails a lot these days, and you know, I see that they don't leave an email, and that's okay. That's even kind of, I don't want to say nicer, because I will reply, and I like to reply, and I like to build these relationships. But when someone says the things they say and they don't leave an email address, that means they don't want to hear back.
Wait a second. How could how could they get to you and not leave? If you get an email,
you go to theartistee.com and you just fill out the contact form.
But you
don't have to put your email.
Oh, okay. So I see. It's a comment.
So, there's no way that I can get back to them.
So they don't email you.
It's one of the higher compliments to actually get something and be like, wow, this person actually went out of their way to say some things, really make sense, really appreciate what.
What? Are you there? Did we? Hello? This is a weird connection. Or we're being, are we being, interloped? Yeah, man, that's just, oh, but you know what? But then your face comes back. But your face comes back when it disconnects. Oh, no.
I know.
No.
I'm back.
Every Street United. Advertisement. Every Street United. I don't know what that means.
Sure. Yeah, they wish Every Street United.
What does that mean?
Through art. I don't know.
And then there's a McDonald's M on it. I know, but
oh,
yeah.
Really?
That's a slap in your face. There's your wonderful little icon there, and then directly up northeast of the northeast of the little box.
Which this is great. You see what they did? You see, we came to the internet. We said, yes, we are the underground. I stand for the underground and independence and interesting, maddening craziness. And then they took over and put a McDonald's logo on my face.
Well, they it's true though. That particular energy, that's, you know, that's so strong. It's what, you and I were around this place when it literally was an underground, but now.
Ads were only on GeoCities. Come on.
But we're still us. That's the deal. That's the deal. And people are still, now what is this? I'm just saying that tomorrow I might do I'm going to do the regular things. I got some beer. I'm going to sit. It's going to be beautiful and sit on my porch and some friends will come by and people will walk around and my kids will be jumping and I'll make some food because we eat too, people.
Right. We do. Artists eat too.
How many times have you and I talked about the steak and the wine, right?
Right.
I mean, it's like, yeah, of course. We're like, you know, it's not a big deal. In fact, it says red wine. That's why I didn't see this one. It's Artistee Red Wine, WHINE. I have another one. That's why I didn't know. Okay. I don't know. And yet people will, if people come over and sit down and start talking with me, just the same with you, you know, it's going to be, tilts the world. It's Atlas shrugging, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're like, what? You know, forever I've always thought this, because you and I both know, when we, regardless of our paths, you know, we grow up and we went like, uh-oh, you know, eventually we go, uh-oh, I'm not like them. what am I going to do now, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And then we have to find a way to survive and place ourselves in, like you're saying, and place ourselves in a position and pave our own path, being as much as we can of ourselves to keep our own sanity, but still have to use the tools, and we still have to participate with everyone. Except the difference is, and you know, you and I will constantly be subject to more abrasive behavior from others, mm-hmm. yeah. based on what we say and do or anything.
Mm-hmm. And that's why the people who are themselves or say they're themselves out in public, you know, you ask them about the abrasiveness that they receive, and they'll admit they have quite a bit of abrasiveness, and they have to deal with that, and they'll tell you it's worth it, and maybe it is, but I guess my main qualm with that is that it exists, and I just, if that exists, and I have no particular desire to deal with it. So why not just be that among my people when my people are around?
my people are, but isn't that, well, I mean, like we were saying, people we know how to be in touch with one another. There's other ways we can be, regardless of distance and stuff. But in essence, we're still these isolated, I think I'm more isolated than before.
And there's something very, there's nothing compelling when you get, and I'm going to make an alien extraterrestrial statement. Okay. There's just nothing compelling that when you get to the 21st century and you are sold all of this horse shit about life and freedom and being yourself, you still realize you can't. There's just something that says, well, then it's never going to work.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot convince me that humanity is going to say, holy crap, in my lifetime, say, oh, you know, this is all stupid. We were just being silly. This whole, you know, religious thing where we're killing you for your beliefs and where we hate you because of what you do and the things you paint and the things you believe and the things you say. That's not going to go away ever. The 21st century should convince us of that. And then, therefore, I do not wish to participate any further in the fight. Because going out and being yourself, all you're doing is participating in the fight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that fight can never be won. Because they'll just find something else. And it's always the weird, not plain, normal people who will be fighting for something. We fought for our skin color. We fought for our sexuality and then our gender. And then what next? The things we paint, the things we do. Or something else about ourselves that the majority doesn't think reflects back to them. You can't convince me.
We're all doomed.
Mm-hmm. And a caveat of that is, so I shall live my life and enjoy it in the way I see fit, without going out and marching down the street and doing whatever.
Sure, there's no, you know, I've often said this to people who said, you know, why do you do that? What do you mean? Someone said to me, yeah, you see me performing somewhere, and they go, hey, you wrote a song, and then I'm so like, yeah, God, I've written hundreds of songs. It's like, it's nothing. It's to me, it's nothing. And it's like, really? And then, and they don't understand. It's like, they don't understand this. It's like, even though, there were times it would have been wonderful to sell them all. It would have been one, you know, if things went another way, it would have been completely, absolutely wonderful. I would not have turned it away. But the point is, I did it because I had to do it. And I don't think, and I think this is something about the artist that, moves from type of artist to type of artist, or somebody who just, it's like, I can't not do it. I walk around with things to write. Mm-hmm. It's a joke. It's an idea. It's a thing. It's a thought. It's gotta be. And I realize, I mean, I do that with complete understanding of the futility of it. And people don't understand that because they don't do it. Or what? What? In other words, why doesn't everybody have a something in them that says, "Well, I got
to
do it."
Burning desire to do.
I don't know if that's a desire. This is almost like it's like, geez, if I don't do this, it's me.
Like an affliction at this point.
Hey, what?
It's an affliction at this point. It's
yes.
A disease almost that we.
Okay. That's why. That's why. That's why when I found one of these great titles I found for one of my books when I do it, my book I don't write, a repulsive form of gravity. I think that's me. I'm here. I'm just stuck here, and I'm going to do what I do no matter what, because I got to do it.
Right. Well, that kind of goes back to the first thing I said of the definition of an artist. That thing that I saw that I posted on the damn Facebook wall, you know, about some sort of compelling nature to do this. But at the same point, artists are like, I don't want to go out. I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to. But yet we have this desire to do the opposite. And I think that makes I mean, that makes a good speaker. That makes anybody who's out in public doing something or creating something, it almost makes them better when they don't want to do it, but yet they're so good at it and they have such a desire to do it that they can't not do it.
Every week I've said this in public, I've said it on the show, and I've said it to my sons and anybody else who knows that I sit here and do this. And everybody knows, those people who are in contact with me on Thursdays are like, and I say, they hear me say things like, oh yeah, I got to get this stuff done and done. I got to do the radio thing. You say it like, I was like, I just, you know, I do it and I'm like, it's hot or whatever excuse I have. I'm fighting to get down here at that time and put it all down, whatever it might be. And then it begins, and here I am, and I am, I mean, what was I thinking? I just do it.
And I have to say that is that desire, and it's the only thing close to drugs and alcohol that I've ever found that was just as good, that felt the same, is finishing a show, finishing a painting, finishing any of the products that I've done and projects I've done. That feeling is that. It's that euphoric, shaking, quaking, fiery, I did that, yeah, and I feel great, because before I get on the air, I think, I don't want to do it, I don't want to talk to this person, I hate this, I just want to quit and just sit in the corner and read a book. But then at the end of the show, it's like, that was amazing. I was good. They're good. We've created something great, and everybody loves it, and it inspires.
It's the actual doing. It's not, for me, it's not even like what, because I don't go back and listen, really. Yeah. A lot or any at all. I don't, you know. Right. And you know as well as I do, because we have different styles of preparing and doing stuff. Mm-hmm. But by the same token, it's all about the doing. And I'm sure that there are plenty of artists. Well, you know this too. Let's just do this, regardless of the fact that, and this is a good way to compare this, because we do have entirely different styles of preparation. You have a style. I don't have any style of preparation. You have any of it. You know, but we do how we set it up, and then do. But by the same token, don't you feel, as I feel, that that there's no way I'm going to get it all out? And this, there is no, I don't really particularly think there's another lifetime. And if there is, I don't know about it, because I don't bring it with me to the next, whatever that junk is going on, right? But I'm sitting here going, and that's why I came up with the stupid idea of like, I'll write a book about the books I'll never write, because they never getting there. I'm never going to get there. And that's even counting what changes you go through. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know?
Well, I mean, it's pretty much a guarantee that even if you buy into the afterlife and everything else, it appears that after death, the artist D will no longer be the artist D. And I will not be able to create and continue to do the things I do. And whether that means that I've moved on to a different plane, then that means I'm not broadcasting on the internet, so then I'm not being myself. Or painting, you know. And that would be great. It would be great to carry on in some cosmic form, I imagine.
See?
But either way, I still, you know, whether it's the lights are out and that's it, or there's some sort of consciousness, it's like, well, the body definitely gone, no more paintbrushes, no more internet, it'll be something else. And even if there's like some form of, God, heaven forbid, heaven, reincarnation, that's even worse to me, is right? Okay, you're going to come back as a person and not have any idea of who you were. You're going to have to do it all over again. Now, if I want to be reincarnated, I need to pick up where I left off.
Yeah.
None of it will be good enough from what I see. So, and turning the lights off actually does make a lot more sense. It actually comforts me a little bit more than just moving on, because I don't know where that leads. At least I know the lights are off and D has done all that D can do.
I don't mind. D has done all that D can do. I like that. I like that.
That's the next bumper sticker for the Fabulous D Show.
Absolutely. But the thing I don't like is I don't like the idea, you know, because we're artists also are, you know, have an identity, you know,
right.
You have an identity, not necessarily just in an ego sense, but, and so I don't like the idea when someone tells me that, you know, that what's going to happen is this. And of course, and I look at them, I mean, you got to look at these people like, because the way we think is like, how do you know? I don't, you know,
you know,
all right, tell me what you're making up in your head, all right? And the thing is, well, here's what happens. You'll become you will return to the energy that keeps you alive. It's the same energy that makes plants and worms and wolves and elephants. It's that energy that brings things to life. And you'll become again part of that energy, you know? And I say to myself, okay, but can I have a pen and paper? Or I mean, I don't like the idea of just becoming an energy. Mm-hmm. You don't like this.
That's pretty much the only option in my head is, you know, if you return to what, you know, the big picture, you're just particles. And even if you had any consciousness, well, then you're one with everything else. So no painting, right? Okay.
Yeah, what this has to do with fireworks tomorrow has, whenever you're listening, people, I don't know. But again, it does, because you people have to understand that we're Americans too. Hey!
Everything is directly connected.
Yeah, this is like, come on. People who say things like, and this is all just, it's all such, pablum and it's commercial garbage, you know. It's like, well, you know, you're they give labels. Well, it's all about labels, right? That's what it says. Yeah, that's not American. You're not American. You're talking like some European. I'm talking like some European. Like, well, you know, perhaps there's like an inch of my brain I'm using that you're not. I don't know, but I didn't necessarily mean to say I'm not this, I'm that, because I'm probably both or neither. I don't know, but it's like, you know, it's like, and that these little, they're kind of like little minds in a sense. I think because they have the sense of security and feeling of I'm a part of a. Okay, I'm a part of a family that's part of a country that's part of a, you know, part of a civilization, part of a state that's part of a country that's part of a, you know, and I don't get any comfort in that. And that doesn't do anything for me. And you know, and the whole, so tomorrow in a sense is like, you know, when I see the fireworks, I love to see the fireworks, and it's an entirely different thing going on in my head. It has nothing to do. You know, it has nothing to do with the...
I'm not thinking about what everyone says they're thinking about.
Yeah, I'm gone already, you know? I mean, this is not it. And I think what you were talking about before, about having to do things and about it being the drug, that goes to my particular theory about why people take drugs or get high or do things. And that is because it is great to feel great. To feel great, to be euphoric and lifted for no reason is great, you know? And that's great. And that's where we get when we start creating and doing stuff. We're in that moment, and we just, this feeling is, that's our drug. You just have to do it because you want to feel, and what is it? It's really nothing. It's just, you know, a painting can be destroyed. There's nothing. We don't do anything that really lasts. We do this stuff, it makes us feel good, and we have this, that's our drug. People don't have that. A lot of people
don't have that. And I can't leave them out, because I know that, you know, people that climb mountains, they feel the same way, literally mountains. And, you know, people who create, they knit a sweater, they knit a quilt, it's a good, amazing feeling.
Well, they're touching upon it. They don't realize the scope of it. But go
ahead. Yeah. And I guess that's the difference, is we have a larger scope here. We see that entire, we know it. We know it in its entirety. They're just kind of flirting with it.
Yeah, it's like we have a house, and we know we got all these rooms that we've created where we could go in and we can get these this, we could produce this dopamine or whatever it is that's going on and get this stuff cooking. And other people, because of fear, because of any number of, I guess it's all, they're all fears, laws, rules, morality, right? They just don't do it.
And it just seems like it's becoming a buildup of emotion, kind of. And I think, like, the holidays especially, the 4th of July, I mean, these are all old things that people are still doing and embracing. And I think the consciousness is moving forward, but yet it's being held back because of tradition. And, you know, you want the fireworks, you want the hamburgers and hot dogs, and to be an American and just, you know, plug into that. But at the same point, your heart and soul are saying, I want to move forward. I want to be open and amazing and something different and embrace a new kind of culture, a new society. But yet all these other people are embracing this other thing, and it is like a drug, because that makes them feel good too. The holidays make you feel good. It's all like kind of scary how it's holding us back.
Those things that make, I don't know why those things make them feel good. I mean, I only know what makes me feel good.
Really. I mean, because I put it to like Christmas. I mean, at least I know how it, I felt that way once about Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know why people still feel that way about Christmas, even though I can't imagine it right now.
Right.
But I imagine that's how they feel about, I mean, because people illustrate the same feelings towards the 4th of July and other, you know, family gathering holidays. So I just assume, well, it must feel like I used to feel about Christmas, and that must be why they do. But at the same point, it's just, it's not enough. They should know that there's more, but they don't. And they're ruining it for themselves.
But then again, you know, we have to have people who are good sales clerks and good garbage people. Yes. Pick up the garbage. I mean, you know, we've got to have people who aren't always walking around, you know, who aren't us.
It's true.
So, but, and yet, those turn out to be the people who are more angry or angrier and, I don't know, could be jealousy or, you know, lack of, self-esteem or what have you, but they're the ones who will, be abrasive to our lifestyles.
And it's a very, I've been wrestling with that for many recent years.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is some, I mean, when you look through history, there's just always been something that, you know, the poor people, and this is going to sound terrible, I'm sure, even though I have no idea what I'm about to say, but that's also part of being an artist.
Yes.
I know I'm about to say something, but I don't know how horrible it's going to be. You know, there were poor people, and they didn't expect to be on television. They wanted to watch the people on television.
Mm-hmm.
And we now live in a society where everyone, even, and I shouldn't have said poor people. I should have just said people in normal society, because it really was. It was poor, middle class, rich. You watched the telly and you thought, I like watching this show and with these stars, and I admire these people. And now everyone wants to be those people, and everyone expects, especially teenagers, expect to be on the television and on these shows. And that has been some sort of key to the shift that I don't appreciate and that I'm wrestling with, because yes, everyone should be special. Everyone is special. Everyone is human and deserves part of the show and mm-hmm. part of the stage, because mm-hmm. I wanted it and I know how it feels to want it. So of course everyone would want that. But that, for some reason, has led to the imbalance. I mean, we don't have people who sit in their houses and think, I like watching this show. I like watching these people. We have people that say, I want to be those people.
Oh, so you're running into... Okay, so wait, you're finding that there is a... Who are these people? Where are you getting in touch with these people who just, they don't want to witness it. They don't want to be passive anymore, you say.
I don't see many people who want to be passive.
You know, when I was a kid and people said, like, you know, when everybody was playing, like, baseball, whatever form of baseball and stuff, and the thing I hated the most was I went to baseball games and people took me, and it was just, you know, you saw this show, but, and I still don't know how people just go there and make this, because it's so passive. Every time I was over there, I wanted to play. I'm not a passive person. I think artists are not passive people in any stretch of the imagination. Right. So what you're saying is that you're wrestling now with the fact that people aren't. You mean that there's no audience? There's not the people the, wanted
yeah,
to.
Yeah, the audience wants to be the people that they're watching now, almost all the time.
Okay, can I ask you where this generates? Because I don't know. I mean, without getting. Well,
it's the American Idol. It's the voice.
Oh.
I mean, people look at American Idol with the one that these, you know, they line up around the block to be discovered, to be paid for by Pepsi Cola, to be famous.
Okay. Okay.
And no matter how good or bad you are, you might get paid to be famous.
Maybe the volume is just higher now because there are these particular venues, and there is the internet where, you know, you could be
and,
your own.
And there's more people.
And there's more people, yeah, right.
And that's what I also wrestle with is like, well, okay, I mean, if you go back to Joan Crawford early days and all, you know, early 1900s, mid-1900s, you still had people running away to Hollywood. Everybody wanted to run away to Hollywood.
Right, right.
And, well, so you see what I'm wrestling with. I don't even know if it makes sense in my own head, let alone when I say it. But I guess I just, you know, when I was in second grade, we all recorded what we wanted to be. And I went up to that microphone. I had nothing to say. I didn't know what I wanted to say.
And boy, isn't that the age where you should make that decision, right?
And yeah, of course, second grade. You know exactly what you're going to do.
Sure.
And everybody else, you know, well, I want to be a housewife. I want to be a doctor, a lawyer, a waitress.
Yeah, they don't know. Well, they don't know.
A hairdresser. Yeah. I mean, and they picked the white picket fence, the house, the dog, and the kids. And I went up there and I was like, I had to make something up because it wasn't, I would have said an artist if I knew what an artist was.
I always got a great joy out of making things up, and that's where it generated, where a lot of this stuff generated. And when you, and so I know what you're talking about because, and it's just that you got, once you break through as you did and I did, you break through all the stuff that they're teaching us, which is, you know, the morality, the traditions. I mean, once you break through that stuff, you realize, that, you were doing all along, you were just playing that game. As I was playing, and though they would say, like, ah, oh, you're lying, or ah, oh, you don't mean that, or you, and it was like it gave me a great thrill to just make that stuff up. And if I was in a situation like that, you know, I would be thinking, like, what should I tell them I'll be that nobody else would be?
Right.
I mean, immediately coming to my mind is like, you know, I am different, and I'm going to be different. For God's sake, you know?
That's probably what I saw it as, is as I wanted to walk up there and say, I'm going to be different.
Yeah, different, right. Or just, right. They wouldn't understand that. But
no, they wouldn't have a
I'm going to be a scarecrow.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a, you know, the hours are tough, true. But, yeah, no, but, you know, there's really not a lot of heavy lifting. And you're out a lot. You know,
I heard that job's really for the birds.
You know, God. So, right. And as the crow flies, it's a pretty darn good living. You know, and then immediately, you know, but yeah, see, people don't think like that. But of course, it's tough when you're younger to be able to be spitting out that kind of stuff. Not anymore. You're right. Things have changed. Because all of America has opened up to that's why these generations you're talking about there are tons of these people, but you know they're going to come and go by the wayside anyway. It's not going to work. There are great singers who are never going to get to a microphone. There are bad singers who are going to win the Idol and the star thing and whatever is going on, and it's just. It's not going to turn into something that you might be worried about.
Right.
In that. So I don't.
It's just all very bizarre. And that's why it's an endless tirade and thought, because it's like a mix between a total hippie and an elitist bastard. You know, you want to tell, why are there more passive watchers in the audience these days, mixed with, oh, I want everyone to be famous and loved, and I do, but it's just very strange. It's a very odd battle, Frank.
Yeah, I never wanted to do any of this stuff to be loved.
No.
That was never a goal.
And that's why you've lasted, because that was not your ambition.
Perhaps you're right, because otherwise you'd be like, I know personally knew people who, you know, killed themselves because they knew they weren't going to get there, because that was because their goals were not.
And I did do this to be loved. That's how it started, and I had to get over it.
And the
so
fact,
I get it. I get why they just go crazy and lose it. Thankfully, I just went crazy, lost it, and came back.
Yeah. You're listening to The Interactors. That would be The Artist D from TheArtistD.com for culture and any other number of, including books and paintings. And people can buy paintings from your site, can't they? Can't they?
They can. Just email me.
Okay. And you can commission The Artist D just like you can.
You can commission me. I will paint something that you probably didn't expect.
And it'll be from The Artist D.
It'll be fabulous.
The word, you have adopted that word, and I can't, you know, I was looking through a TV, and there's this show called Unfabulous. Did you ever see it?
No, I didn't.
And then I'm doing my day-by-day daily gambling work, I found a horse, and I, you know, horses, the name is I'm Fabulous, you know, and I don't think of anyone else.
Exactly.
You've taken this word and made it yours. And isn't that what we do? We channel all these influences and everything and make it ours.
Neo most Potternists. I was going to say neo postmodernists.
Neo post. Yeah, Potternists. Harry Potternists.
I don't know.
Neo postmodernists as we are. That never really caught on.
No, it didn't.
No, people just don't get it, and yet they do it. I can label things, but you know, if I had 330,000 million followers on Twitter, they.
Well, you don't know how many people I've stood up in front of and said, "Now you sunburned sickle men."
Right, they know they don't even know they're talking in Shakespearean. Every day they say things. They don't even know that the language comes from Shakespeare. And then you say, and right, who's gonna know that one?
Right.
Sunburnt Sickleman. My name is Frank Cotolo. The man whose name adorns the title of the show. And I am the proud person. I don't have pride, but every now and then I don't. I don't like to brag or things like that. Every once in a while I get some, you know, but it doesn't matter that much. But I'm always saying to people who find The Artist D and say, like, look, I didn't, there's no way I made The Artist D, but I'm telling you, I feel responsible. I feel responsible to have helping The Artist D open up the, I guess I feel like, you know, when it comes to radio and stuff, I feel like I found you.
In some ways, yes.
Yeah.
You are definitely a part of the giant quilt that created what people see before them.
Yeah, and I was thinking recently about how few people there were that I pushed, and some of them have never even gone through with it, and I still think they would have been great. See, there are those too, because I know artists who, you know, and who haven't. But you went through with it, because I got, but I think I pushed for it. And there's so few.
I know there are very few people who will ever realize what someone has done for them and to them.
Yeah.
You know, and when I do get those very rare, there's one person that comes to mind in particular that basically one day they just came and said, you are the reason that not only that they're alive, I'm alive, but that they are who they are. I convinced them to change their course completely.
And that's neo-postmodernism, you know. That's it. And your influence upon them, and then they're never going to be like you, but they're going to take what they got from you, and it's going to go through them, and then it'll translate it through their own identity.
Right.
And of course, they are going to have a billion other influences. Nobody, right. You know.
Which is how you can leave the planet somewhat satisfied. Somewhat.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. You know, I tell people this, and they say, you were a good Catholic, but you were growing up in a good Catholic name. Because I say to them, I say, I'm not really crazy about the leaving at all. I wish I could, anything I can do. And, you know, if you're right, I told, and I did this, I told them, I said, you know, if you're right about this God-devil thing, then I don't know why he's not listening to me, because I've offered my soul any number of times to just stay on this earth.
Exactly.
You know,
that's why I would say I am extremely satisfied that I have changed people's lives as much as I have, but I am even more dissatisfied that I must leave.
Yeah, what's that all about? just when you got your hands on the testicles.
I've just reached the testicles.
Yeah, and you know, you're just there, and you're like, what are they doing? What are they going to do? It's like, you know how long it took me to get here, and now, bingo.
Well, the Chuck Faliniak, whatever, the writer of Fight Club.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He wrote Damned, I think it was Damned. That book, that encapsulates everything that could happen. It was like, it spoke to me because it's about people that went to hell and they didn't believe in hell or heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like exactly how it would be. It would be like, oh, well, this is fascinating, you know, kind of a gruesome place to be, but this is interesting. Didn't expect this to happen. it led that, you know, God and the devil have just been, you know, they set it all up. They set evolution up to trick people like us. And now we're in hell, and it's just this great, odd little fiery party.
And as far as people being different and stuff, and this is what I was thinking about tomorrow, when everybody is going to be doing whatever they consider the celebration.
Speaking of fire and brimstone. Yeah,
and whatever they're doing, now here's what I was thinking. I was thinking about how I turned on the news, and all these kids that were coming up from Mexico were going to be shipped to this particular town in California, where they're, I guess, Americans were going to try and take care of them or do something, even if it was send them back, make sure they had a sandwich or something, you know, just do something. And all the people in the town, like, they got, you know, American flags and signs and, you know, and kerchief. They wear the kerchiefs around them like they're bikers, biker things or whatever, and they're showing their tattoos and they're screaming, get out of here. And I'm thinking, tomorrow, all these people will be sitting and talking about the greatness of this country, and they will have forgotten what it says on the Statue of Liberty. And we're going to change that now. Don't give us your poor. Don't give us your illegals. Keep them all the hell out. We got enough now.
Right. It'll just say go back.
Go back.
Turn around.
Don't give us anything. We don't even want the statue. Take it back.
Well, that's the hilarious thing is that they're there. Yeah, there they are with their fireworks, and they're saying, "What a great country! You know, we let all these people in, and we became what we've become." And then someone says, "Oh, can I come?" "No, not anymore." Yeah.
And it's their interpretation too. I mean, you have no idea what these forefathers were really. I mean, we know there's certain things they were thinking and they could think, and they were political because they could say this and not say that, and because they wanted to create a country where everybody could say whatever they wanted to say, you know, and that's what they thought. And I don't know if they came back now, as Dick Gregory was saying. Do you think George Washington would come back and, you know, and he looks like, of course, I guess he's dressed just like him, isn't he? Like Quentin, here he is with the wig, you know, the half high heel shoes, right?
He had the fabulous wigs and those high heels,
and the fluffy thing, right? Looking incredibly, exquisitely androgynous, and there, What would he be saying? Would he walk into the Supreme Court and would he say, hey, look, what's the big deal with this? Would he be saying, when we wrote the Constitution, we said, we meant, why are you interpreting this? It's pretty damn simple. You know,
I think he would say, what is the matter with you people?
But what's wrong with you? I remember we had this.
And that's what I imagine is any of them. They would say, wait a minute, you've got cell phones and air conditioning and you do this and that and the other thing. You know, just laundry lists of technology. And you're fighting about this?
Yeah, I was like, what?
Why aren't you enjoying yourselves? You know.
I'm trying to think of a play or a movie or something I saw where there were people or there was any number of people who believed in a person or a person's philosophy and idea. And then the person came back and said, you got it all wrong. Wait a second. You know what it's like? In a sense, it's like the trouble that the Catholic Church has been having. As it continues to crumble, you know, because people just don't, what the people who are staying with it or the people who want to have some kind of spiritual base in their life have just decided to sit back and go, you know what I'll do? I'll just change this so it fits me. It's like they don't realize how creative they're being. You know, it really means this because that makes me feel better. It doesn't mean that. I can't go by those rules. I'll go by these rules, which I just made up. Yeah. And because that makes me comfortable. And
whatever makes you comfortable. Yeah,
exactly. You know, and you might as well, you know, just get the dopamine going. Just take drugs. I mean, what? You know, I don't, what do you tell people? It's like, you can't make it up. You either do it or you don't do it. And that's why these people who are, you know, I love, and I've talked this story a million times that whenever the and they like me too. The group of Jehovah Witnesses who are reside around here, you know, and they always loved and they brought other ones. Like, you got to go to this house and talk to this guy, they'd say. You know, they'd come and we'd talk. And the one thing about them in terms of that I always respected was there was no spirit of any law. It's the word of the law and that's it. You know, so it's like they weren't saying like, well, I'm going to make this sound like this so that'll be better for you. They didn't. Right. They said, no, this is what God said. You don't like it, get the hell out. You know, you're dead. That's it. You're done. And then the argument ensues, you know.
Sure.
But it's still, they don't take something and then go, I'll just twist this around so that it's...
Right, right. Well, and, like growing up Catholic. Well, there are gray areas.
Yeah. And there are people, and the people today who want to base so much of this country on stuff that, on moral grounds and political grounds that they say happened when our country, you know, from the forefathers, they're making this stuff. I mean, they're twisting it around. Mm-hmm. They're completely twisting it around. Because those guys, whoever those guys, the ones who would hang together or most assuredly would all hang separately, those guys were like, they had to be beyond whatever they're defined and explained to be. They had to actually be thinking because they said, look, you want to, look, we believe in God and we think that God and we put God in the thing and stuff like that. But, well, you know, devil guys can come in here too. Because, or else what good is this? You know? So, and then it's like 200 and something years later and they're going like, what do you mean you're a guy? What do you mean you want to marry? You mean you want to have this, you want to, with him? That's why. That's not right. They said this. They made it up. And they don't realize that tomorrow that Declaration of Independence means not we are free. It means I am free, whoever you are. There's an individuality to it. And mm-hmm. Isn't that the kind of stuff that Ayn Rand, and I still call her Ayn. I will not call her Ayn.
I think she's okay with
that. Okay. Isn't that the kind of stuff she was really going for? The fact that I am I, the individual, I'm free, my expression. And not necessarily, there's nothing particularly conservative or liberal about that at all.
No, there's not. And people don't seem to wrap their head around that.
You can have hot dogs and hamburger tomorrow. Are you?
I will have a hamburger sometime this weekend. Yeah.
And then one of those huge cigars you've been smoking?
Yes, one of those huge cigars with an imported German brew.
Mm.
You know, what? And that's okay.
What brand of cigars have you? Not that I want to smoke again at all, because I can't. If I even have a cigar now, I'll want 2,000 cigarettes after it. So, you know, it's like I'm not going to do it. What are they? Are those just big white owls or something?
Well, the little ones are those those cheap ones, the swishers.
I'm not talking about the little ones. I'm talking about the big ones.
The big ones, yeah. They're like Gurkhas.
Oh.
Yes.
You researched that? And
A very good friend who is extremely a cigar aficionado, and he loaned me some, and they look great for photos.
Yeah, yeah.
Much like, smoking in general, I just don't understand it.
Yeah. Well, true, but I noticed how those were a lot, because my father used to find these big white owls. The bigger they were, the better, you know. But when I saw you smoking it, I went, are you smoking that cigar or are you happy to see me? Thanks, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, good night. Yeah.
But that... okay, so then you're just happy to be off.
I can do it without, celebrating the actual. I mean, I won't be out playing with fireworks.
Me neither. I can't. I'm just going to go out. They're expensive if you want to buy them. By the way,
if some random neighbor is out there, shooting them off, and I can see them from the window, I will open the blinds and watch them as I sit back and relax. But I'm not going to go out and stand with people and do. Ooh.
I used to go to this. There's a wonderful little park here, and they have a great. I didn't go this year for some reason or another, but like I said, when I'm watching them and I'm enjoying the sound and the color and everything, I'm just not thinking of the guy with the, the guy with the drum and the other guy and the flute and
they just don't. I've never been able to connect with the society's tradition of things, because just like I remember growing up, we would go somewhere like an hour away to watch fireworks. Mm-hmm. You got to drive all that way. It's July. It's too hot. Then you stand outside forever. You're surrounded by hundreds of people. And finally the fireworks go off and it's 5 to 10 minutes, especially back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, today at least they kind of got it that they 15 minutes, 20 minutes fireworks. That's kind of cool. But back then it was like 5 to maybe 10 minutes of mediocre fireworks. Everyone oohs and ahs for a moment, and then everyone gets in their car and gets in line to exit the fairgrounds or whatever. And I would just think, this is ridiculous. You drug me out here for 10 minutes, and I could have been at home, watching something on television or reading a book. And I feel the same way now. As an adult, I think I've only been to one 4th of July thing. They made me go in the middle of the day.
They made you go.
Yeah, to some lake.
Quick grab.
Because they said it was going to be great.
Mm.
And we went, and there was beer all day and hamburgers and hot dogs. And at the end of the, dusk, about 6:30 or 7, well, I guess that was like 8:30, they had the 10 minutes of really good fireworks, but then everyone gets back in their car drunk and, waits in a very long line to exit the whatever. And I thought then, what is the big deal? You have me spend my entire day when that's why I'll open the window. I'll watch 10 minutes of fireworks if someone's doing it outside, but not go somewhere. It's just like any other holiday. I just do not understand what these people are doing.
And the hamburgers and hot dogs aren't even intrinsic.
Right.
They're from other places. Everything's from somewhere else.
I can tell you, any other time of the year, if I feel like a stogie and a hamburger and a beer, I'll have one.
Hamburg, Frankfurt, does that mean anything to anybody? Or is that American? That's not even American.
Exactly.
And I love the thing. I love bringing those things up to people.
On a Kaiser roll?
Yeah, you're right. A Kaiser roll? Hey, would you like some...
With French fries?
I always think that when somebody says, would you like rye bread? Would you like rye bread, Italian bread, pumpernickel, or, you know, American bread? And then you look at the American, we go like, look at this white nothing. It's like nothing. Everything else looks good. Everything else has a taste.
Exactly.
And this is, you're proud of this? A slice of white bread? It's nothing?
I just thought of it. It's perfect, because and half of this is a joke, half of it is not. But yeah, we're eating our hamburger on a Kaiser roll while drinking our German imported beer, and I'm smoking a cigar from, what, Cuba? So, thank God for America.
I hope there's a few people out there who will tomorrow.
And I don't smoke Cuban cigars. I think that's illegal. I don't know. I don't have any.
I don't think it's illegal. Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Those ones, you know.
You're right. How do they? I don't know. Are they?
I know, but I do know that all the leaves are grown in like South America or something. So it's still your imported cigar.
Yeah, an imported cigar. The wine is from, if you're drinking wine, is from somewhere. The beer is from somewhere else. They're all, nobody, and everything they try, you know, they in Pennsylvania, I don't know if they did this when you lived in Pennsylvania, but they keep trying to make wine, you know, and they say, have some good old American Pennsylvania wine. And I went, yeah, otherwise known as I call it, vomit, you know, thin, horrible. It's horrible. I can't drink it. And all this American stuff is, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how people, I don't know. I don't, you know, we have a universal, our consciousness goes beyond boundaries.
Yes.
I think we both agree with that.
That is so.
And it's the boundaries that keep everybody, makes everybody feel that they're comfortable, and I don't want to, never could be that comfortable, because I always knew. And that's why I hated the, as much as I hate the phrase, thinking outside the box, and I say to myself, why do you get in there in the first place? If there was a box, they never put me in it to think outside of it. I don't know anything but the outside.
Right. Yeah. Well, so I think the front of my artistd.com site, it says, helping you out of one box at a time.
Yes, that's right. You jump from box to box, or you build tunnels or little places to go in from one
box. People love boxes.
Yeah, I'm beyond that. Well, I think now that we've completely taken the...
So what are we going to talk about tonight?
I don't think that sounded self-serving. Was it self-serving?
No.
No, it's not. And you know, the people who are listening or have gotten through any of this are obviously people who have some of the characteristics and qualities, and not just qualities. I mean, I got some plenty things wrong with me.
I hope that, you know, it's like those people that, you know, watch something or listen to something and read something I've done. At the end of it, it's like, you know, that could have been offensive, but I know what you mean, because that's who you are. And it's like, sometimes you've got to know me to not be offended by me, but if anyone was offended tonight, well, I don't know. Read the footnote.
If anyone was offended, they used something we said to make themselves feel badly.
Yes.
We didn't do anything.
I really, honestly, have that shadowy line of not... I do not mean to upset anyone, really.
I like to shake people up. I don't mean to get them... I don't mean to... point.
I want to make them think, and that's what I would hope it did.
Yeah, and I think that and I like to challenge them with stuff, but it's not personal. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not business either. It's strictly stupidity. I don't know what I'm playing this game of life in any possible way I can. Well, I don't. You have any other things you'd like to say or push or punch or promote at this particular moment as the moments wane?
Other than the obvious, the already aforementioned For Culture issue 13 has been released. It is amazing. We've got amazing people We have Peter Murphy on the cover. He's some famous guy.
Yeah.
And there are many famous people inside. I've done an interview with a wonderful photographer, and I did a wonderful mm-hmm. editorial. Everyone mm-hmm. needs to read my editorials because they are me. And the Fabulous D Show is still in season 7, and there will be another issue or episode out soon.
Soon, you gotta go. You gotta go subscribe, or you gotta put your, you gotta get your newsletter and stuff. They gotta do that to know.
Yes.
Because you're not on any schedule at all, are you?
I am on my own schedule.
Right. So when one is going to pop up.
Yes. When it happens, it happens. I've been rebuilding a studio bigger and better than ever before.
Oh. Is that not really the one that you've been opposed? Is that not? Is that a mock studio?
No, that's the actual studio. But we are building something.
But it's so much. That's so nice. I hate the word nice. It's so...
That sounded terrible. Yeah. It sounds nice.
I know.
Look at what she's done.
Oh, it's marvelous. It's marvelous what they've done to that studio. And I'm sure. I know. It just. I'm. But that's good. And I think on a more regular basis, it'll be gooder.
It'll be much gooder.
It'll be the goodest. And are you writing something? Are you doing some more other stuff? Or are you?
I'm always writing something. I'm still writing my monthly column for TG Forum.
Right.
So you can get my monthly opinion there. And you could always add me on Facebook and post things that hopefully stimulate.
Following on Twitter, too. Following.
Definitely follow on Twitter.
You got that thing Twitter where the same, like, you got the same thing, right? When it goes on Twitter, it goes on Facebook?
Yes.
I still embargo things. I don't do that. Doesn't matter. I'm just saying. That's your, like, one big audience.
It is. But yet, people, different audiences, Facebook and Twitter. That's why I do that, because the people on Twitter are not really on the Facebook.
Hey,
or they are, and they like to see it twice.
This will surprise you. Do you know what the average number of followers on for anybody? I mean, taking everybody that's on Twitter, uh-huh. and the people are going to jump. They're going to jump out of your seats on this one.
Yeah.
What do you think? I know it's unfair to ask you to guess. The average number of followers is 61.
Really?
Yes. There are very, very few people with a lot of followers.
Well, I'm doing swimmingly well.
Yes. Well, we're all part of that average, but isn't that amazing?
Yes. Well, I understand, you know, because... Well, I guess that goes to the whole audience thing. You know, not everyone. Some people are watching. Some people are posting still about their food.
Yeah,
and not about the poetry that they could be writing on Twitter.
Well,
life's my Twitter is poetry.
We'll show them. Little by little, we'll show them. As long as we're still around, we're going to shake them up. Hey, I'm glad to, on such late notice you got here. And that
I'm glad you've had me.
And we're glad to have talked this way as
happy
we do,
to be here.
You know. And we'll be in touch one way or another, as you know. I forcibly do. There's no way. Eventually, you hear from me one way or another.
Right.
And
absolutely. And I've really enjoyed our discussion. I love to just show up and talk. This is my favorite.
Well, this is what we do, and we'll do it as often as we can. Then. As long as we're here, and on your show, on my show, on anybody's show, doesn't matter.
That's
right. They can book us, and I'll talk with you soon.
Absolutely, we will talk soon.
Yes, and I'm going to bug out of this thing here right now, and I'm glad that the it's gone. The ad is gone.
That's Mr. Cantola over there. You know what I mean?
No, that's the artist D over there. It's just it's gone.
Right.
It's absolutely gone.
Goodbye. Hello, goodbye.
Hey, not a goodbye. Talk to you soon. I love you, and I'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye. Good night, good afternoon, good night. There it goes. And the icon. Boop. And we know we got that, too. Hey, what happened? And, you know, what happened is what always happens. Here we go. We're flying out of here for now. And we'll be back as soon as there's a back to be. My name is Frank Atoll, the man is the name of George, the title of the show. We thank the artist D. for being here and sharing with us. Don't forget other things. What? Facebook, Frank Cotolo. You know where to find me, at Frank Cotolo. Put it on Twitter. The 148.ca/Frank. Stuff going on over there. And the Montreal Jewish News, my political nonsense. All the stuff that's fit. I say all the stuff that's unfit. I don't know either way. But I am, I know this, I am free. Free! 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 Hey, we'll talk with you. I think majority may have been next week. We don't know what we're going to do, but CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com and everything else. Have a good time. Stay safe. Be good. Live long. And prosper. Good night, Mrs. Ernst, wherever you are. I think it's about time I leave, because I ain't got nothing more to say.